is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. This is Detailing Addiction on America's Web Radio. Today I have a very special guest, Dr. Mel Pohl, who is board certified in family practice, certified by the American Board of Addiction Medicine, and a fellow of the American Society of Addiction Medicine. He is medical director of the Las Vegas Recovery Center, which is a fabulous program which I'm hoping he will spend a few moments talking to us about. He is also on the planning committee for ASAM, the American Society of Addiction Medicine's Common Threads Pain and Addiction course, and is co-chair of ASAM's Pain and Addiction Work Group. These courses are so very well received and well attended, and I've attended a few of those and have learned so much from Dr. Pohl and all of the other faculty members of this great course. Dr. Pohl is a nationally known speaker and co-authored a number of books, including Pain Recovery, How to Find Balance and Reduce Suffering from Chronic Pain, Pain Recovery for Families, How to Find Balance When Someone Else's Chronic Pain Becomes Your Problem Too, and A Day Without Pain. But today we're going to talk about his new book, which has just been released today, called The Pain Antidote: Stop Suffering from Chronic Pain, Avoid Addiction to Painkillers, and Reclaim Your Life, which was actually released today, May 26th. Wow. I spent too much time on holiday. May 26, 2015. So thank you so much, Mel, for being on the show today.
Oh, it's my pleasure. It's good to talk to you, Susan.
I was hoping that you might share with our guests a little bit about the Las Vegas Recovery Center and tell us a little bit about your work there before we get into your book.
Sure. And the book is really based on my work at Las Vegas Recovery Center, so it makes sense to talk about it. We are a freestanding treatment center in Las Vegas, in the west side of the valley, far from the strip. No slot machines in the lobby. And we treat drug addiction, and as a result of seeing so many more people with addiction to painkillers, opioid painkillers, we developed a program for people who have both drug dependence or are overusing or misusing their drugs or in trouble with their drugs, but also who have chronic pain. And that program is based in a very holistic, functional, restorative method that includes physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual components. So that's my day-to-day work is being at the center and watching people come in a drugged, depressed state and really giving up their drugs and getting back into condition and finding their lives.
How long have you been working there?
It opened about 11 and a half years ago, and I've been there since it started.
So you are really one of the founders and creators of the program there.
I'll take credit for that. Yeah. You know, it was one of those things. One day I just got tired of telling people when we detox them off their morphine or their Lortabs or their Percocet or their OxyContin, and they'd say, well, what are you going to do about my pain? You know, that's what got me on these meds in the first place. And I would say, well, go see your pain doctor again, because unfortunately the way things go is that medications would be restarted. So I went to our management team and said, there's a need and we need to fill it, and we've developed this extraordinary program, nationally known, and we get to really, really impact people's lives.
And I have to say that certainly this program is one of the leading in the nation and addresses a population that often gets lost in the mix, because folks who treat and specialize in chronic pain tend to not be as adept at recognizing and managing addiction. On the other hand, folks who treat addiction get really scared sometimes about dealing with folks that are as complicated as we see in our chronic pain population. And when they suffer from both diseases, and usually there's a third psychiatric or psychological problem in there, it becomes a very, very difficult mix. And so your program there at Las Vegas Recovery is world known for the work that you do addressing this very complicated patient, as you say, in this holistic method.
Yeah, that's well said, and we do find people who come to us who've been in treatment before in a very high-quality addiction treatment center, and when they say, you know, I take my medicine because of I'm in pain, the other patients in the group say, no, you're in denial and you're just an addict, and that simply isn't the truth. And what's interesting, Susan, is that we do see some patients who have frank addiction, who misuse their medications and they crush them up and snort them instead of swallow them, and they use other illegal substances and they go from doctor to doctor. But we also see a lot of people, and I talk a lot about it with my co-author Kathy Ketchum in the book, about people who went to the doctor with a pain condition like a backache or fibromyalgia or post-operative pain that wouldn't go away, and they were given a prescription and they took it as prescribed, and they for years have continued to take it as prescribed. The prescription has gotten more potent because the medicine, of course, stops working, and they come to me dependent on the drug and with a sort of a complex state of dependence, because they take the drugs despite the fact that their life is spiraling down dramatically. And we help those people come off their drugs, and not necessarily label drug addiction per se, but just the term that we use in the book is complex dependence.
And that, I think, is a gift and a skill set all of its own, understanding that, yes, there may be addiction, there may be physiological dependence, there may be a lot of things going on, and often these folks, again, they get discharged from the pain clinic, the addiction treatment program doesn't know or want to deal with it, and they don't know what to do or where to go.
Yeah. That's really the case. And, you know, one of the main reasons that I wrote this book with Kathy is to sort of chronicalize what we do at the center and to really help people find a way through this very complicated maze of use of medications that end up backfiring and really having no way out.
And we're talking about millions of people. We're not talking about a rare disorder, but this affects millions of Americans, millions of people around the world. So this book, The Pain Antidote, I'm very intrigued by the title because it sounds like just what people need.
Well, I hope so. We sat down to conceptualize the book based on the fact that Kathy, who is has some clinical practice up in Walla Walla, Washington, had sent a patient to me for treatment, and we got to speaking on the phone about how the patient was doing, and we just sort of really hit it off. And she's an author. She's written 15 other books, including Under the Influence with Charles Schuster, who was in the NIAAA many years ago, and she's just an extraordinary writer. And we just decided that we needed to collaborate on this project, and you know, we've come out with a very practical book. I mean, there's the whole first part of the book is about what's the nature of the problem, figuring out what's wrong and how the brain works and how drugs work, and then moving towards overcoming the problem and finding a better life. You know, I mean, so much of what I try and teach my physician colleagues when I lecture is that we're not really in the business of taking pain away, because life is filled with pain and people's responses to pain, and the goal really has to be to improve people's lives and help them function better.
So let me ask you about the audience that this book is written for. Do you see this as a textbook for clinicians who are treating people with pain? Do you see this as directed towards addiction professionals working with the pain population? Is this written for the lay public, for people who actually have pain or for their families?
So can I answer yes to that?
Yes!
The book is really written for the person with pain.
Okay.
But in the process of writing about people with pain, we started to write about families of the people with pain. And certainly, it is my hope that my addiction colleagues will benefit from having access to these the basic principles, and also physicians, whether it's, you know, there's some information in the book that will probably be news to physicians. Because when I teach physicians, you know, I start out talking about the brain and how the pathology of pain works. But the real premise of this book is that all pain is real and that emotions drive the experience of chronic pain. And until and unless you deal with the emotional and cognitive thinking aspects of the messages about chronic pain, people just don't get better. And that is not understood and or believed by a large percentage of the medical profession. Because when I lecture, people are not, they don't throw things at me and they don't walk out. They really become very interested and very challenged by those concepts. So I'd say the book really is for all of those groups.
And would this be a book that would be helpful for someone who has the disease of addiction and may face a pain problem in the future? This is one of the questions that people will often ask me as they've finished detoxification and they've finished their initial phases of addiction treatment, and we bring up the issue of, in the future, if you have pain, how am I supposed to deal with this? What am I supposed to do? So is this also a resource for that group?
Yes, I would say it is. Now, just to differentiate, there's acute pain, which is if you have surgery or a toothache or an infection or an injury like a sprain, that when the tissue heals, the pain goes away. There are some skills that are necessary to handle those experiences that we touch on in the book. But really, this is about, the book is about chronic pain. So that's people who injure themselves and don't fully recovered. So the pain is present and long-lasting, and it is a challenge for 125 million Americans, and a substantial percentage of those do have the disease of addiction. And as those people with drug addiction get older and are subject to injuries and surgeries, it's logical to think that they're going to face chronic pain. And frankly, if people were to have access to this book before they develop pain, they might be better prepared and less or more reluctant to accept a medication as a solution, because a medication really isn't a solution to chronic pain.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about why chronic pain has become so prevalent and such a problem. And everybody, please put paper and pencil near your listening station so that you can write down websites when we come back. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be right back.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
This is Tracy Pearson with Prissy Tomboy. Listen to the Prissy Tomboy radio show every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time as I interview special guests that will inspire adventure and fitness for females.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on AmericasWebRadio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on AmericasWebRadio.com anytime you like.
Perhaps you are struggling to cope with the disease of addiction. If not, you probably know a family member or friend that needs help in battling the cravings and the personal and professional damage done by the effects of drugs or alcohol. Get a pen and paper and be ready to write down the following. These are the issues that the trained staff at the Atlanta Healing Center address and treat every day. Their doctors and counselors with over 40 years of practice in the field of addiction can treat the suffering individual in a thoughtful, compassionate, and experienced manner and guide him or her along the path to recovery. So call 770-696-9862 and speak to a knowledgeable staff member about how you or your loved one can be helped to enjoy a better and healthier life. More information is also available on the website at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back. This is Dr. Susan Blank on Detailing Addiction on America's Web Radio. Today, my special guest is Dr. Mel Pohl. He is a physician and assistant clinical professor in the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at the University of Nevada School of Medicine. He was elected by his peers for inclusion in the Best Doctors in America from 2009 all the way to the present. We are talking today about his new book, and here's where you need your pen and paper, thepainantidotebook.com. That's the pain, and write thepainantidotebook.com for more information about how you can obtain this very valuable book that will bring a lot of relief to many people. If you're interested in Dr. Pohl's program, you can go to www.lasvegasrecovery.com. That's www.lasvegasrecovery.com. So thank you so much for being with us today. Why is chronic pain so prevalent now, and how has it become such a problem?
Well, I think it's been around a lot for a long time. I think what really brings it to the forefront is not only, I mean, as I mentioned, there's 125 million people suffer or estimated to suffer from chronic pain. It's the number one complaint that people have when they go to a primary care doctor, like a family doctor or an internist. Why? Because we live active, vigorous lives, and we tend to be injured, and we, of course, have an aging population. And as we get older, we have wear and tear changes that cause deterioration of tissue and stiffening and eventually increase in pain. I also think we live in an incredibly stressful, high-intensity environment that really causes people to suffer more. And, you know, that's one of the focuses that we have in our book, is really to talk about suffering, which is the person's response to the sensory experience of pain, and is an enormous issue that we address and that needs to be addressed in order for people to have better lives. And I think the real third reason that there's such a high focus on chronic pain is because of the opioid epidemic. We physicians got sold a bill of goods, which was, oh, you can prescribe these safely as long as people have legitimate pain, whatever the heck legitimate pain is, as opposed to illegitimate pain.
Right.
But, you know, the message we got, and, you know, these were framed messages from very sophisticated marketing programs for pharmaceutical companies who hired representatives to convey the messages that if you don't have addiction, you can't get addicted if you really have pain. And that simply is not the truth. The other part of the lie that we were fed was that these drugs work. And your listeners may or may not know that every study that's been done recently and a review of the literature suggests that quite the opposite is true, that hardly anybody has a better life as a result of being on chronic opioids. Maybe 30% of people have moderate improvement in their life as a result of being on opioids. And those people should have access to medication. But really, the other 70% are taking medication, developing tolerance, having physical dependence, and a whole set of symptoms that develop as a result of being on medication that never should have been prescribed in the first place, or certainly shouldn't be continued for a life long period. So I think the focus, because 15,000-16,000 people a year are dying from these overdoses, and most of those people have prescriptions from doctors. So it's not like this is a disease of drug addicts. This chronic pain is really driving the opioid epidemic.
Excuse me. I find it so interesting. I worked for about a year and a half in an interventional pain practice where I was learning to do interventions such as a spinal cord stimulator or indwelling pain pump. And in exchange, I was doing the psych evals and setting up the drug testing program. But when I would look at the charts, I would see patients that had been coming in for a number of years, and pain scores were remaining very elevated in spite of the fact that every few months or every 6 months they had an increase in their pain medication or a change to a more potent form of pain medication. So you're absolutely right when you say these meds really weren't meant for chronic long-term pain. They're meant for acute pain, and thank goodness after surgery they're available.
Get me some. Yeah.
Exactly. But this whole notion that these meds were going to be the answer has turned out to be quite the opposite, and now we see people who are actually trapped in this vicious cycle of the meds not helping, and they can't get off of them because they have withdrawal, and they're afraid, and they don't know what to do. So I'm so glad you have this book.
Yeah, I think trapped is a proper way to characterize the lives of people who are on medicine. And I evaluate a lot of patients who are coming in to think about coming off their opioids. They're usually sent by family member or an insurance company. And when I sit with them, just as you described, their pain is very, very high. They're on very high medications. And, you know, I usually will pose the question. I'm very conversational, and one of the points we try and make in the book as I tell stories about patients I've seen is that listening to the patient is really important. Most of the patients I see say, nobody's ever really spent this long with me and listened to what I'm telling them. Even if they're with me, they're busy checking their watch or looking at the chart. But that said, they say, you know, I'm taking these medications, my pain is very high, and I say, well, what about coming off your medications? And they say, can you imagine how much pain I'd be in if I came off the medicine, if I'm in that much pain now? Or they'll say, you know, I try not to take the medicine and the pain goes up. And what I'm able to explain is that that's dependence, and that when you stop the drug, at least for the short run, and it could be a few hours, it could be a few days, it could be a few weeks even, the pain does tend to elevate, which makes it so hard to come off these drugs. I mean, that's one of the things that frustrates me, is that it is really tough. I have a patient right now in treatment, and she's 2 weeks out, and she's still pretty much struggling with sleeplessness and anxiety. And but the nice part about that is that her pain score is finally starting to come down, and that's what we see all the time.
So you talk about the cycle of suffering. Can you describe that for us a little bit?
Sure. Well, suffering is the human response to an incident. So let's say it's my back hurts. Let me give you a better example. I've had a toothache.
You personally?
Too long. Yes, I finally had a tooth pulled. It was cracked, and it's just been nagging. I'm telling you, it just makes me so unhappy. And here I am, the pain guy.
Right.
You know, I mean,
I'm sorry, I shouldn't be laughing.
Well, you shouldn't. But it's you know, one of the things that I do with patients is I use a little bit of irreverence, which is, come on, you know, you're dying from your pain? No, it's just really aggravating to me. But I notice myself, and the suffering comes not from the pulsating feeling in my mouth, but from this whole story that I create, which is, I'm going to have another tooth pulled, and I went to the wrong dentist, and I shouldn't have had my tooth pulled. you know, what am I, you know, I'm 64 years old. What's it going to be like when I'm 70? I'll have to wear denture. You know, I'm telling you what, if you listened in my head, you would have pain because, and that's suffering, you know, the anxiety, the fear, the anger, the sadness, the sense that I did something wrong is all incorporated into this very simple sensory experience that's happening in my mouth, and that ends up triggering places in the rest of my brain, the middle part of my brain, where emotions lodge. And for people with chronic pain, suffering really becomes almost like a memory. It's just a recycling circuit inside the midbrain, middle part of the brain, where emotion is felt. And that's it's like taking a lens and making everything extra large, you know, taking a magnifying lens, which is suffering. And I'm here to tell you that opioids are not the appropriate treatment for a chronic, sad, painful life. They're just not.
Not going to be the answer. So what do you do? What's one of the first things somebody can do if they've got one of these degenerative problems or an illness or an injury that's going to result in them being in pain probably for a long time?
Right. Well, the first thing they should do is go out and buy this book.
Exactly.
but they can go on the website, thepainantidotebook.com, and there's a whole lot of basic information about what we teach in the book. And on LasVegasRecovery.com, there's a whole lot of principles about how we approach chronic pain. So there's places to go for, because I think the first thing is to really take a step back from this cemented pattern of, I go to the doctor, I get my medications, I take my medications, and I have a crappy life. And so the first step is to really step back and look at how I'm living my life. I mean, we had a patient who had chronic headaches who lived 20 hours out of the day in bed in the dark room.
Oh, my.
And she didn't see her misery. She just didn't see a way out of her misery. So, you know, to step back and say, this is not the way I want to live my life. I want to take action and measures. And then very carefully go about making the next steps, because I really believe that for most people with chronic pain, coming off the medications is recommended. Might not be for everybody, and certainly if somebody's taking a Lortab every week when they go and golf, you know, that's not the people I'm talking about, or even a Lortab every couple, 3 days. I'm talking about people who are dependent on the drugs, who might be addicted to the drugs, and whose life is not enhanced by the medication. They ought to really take a look with their prescribing physician. And if that prescribing physician is rigidly attached to continuing to prescribe the same dose and more, then they ought to find somebody else to see, because that's not the proper attitude. If somebody's interested in coming off the drugs, they ought to have a clinician to work with to figure out how to do that. And there's many ways to do that. And I would never suggest, and we have a caveat in the book, do not just stop your drugs. That's a bad idea. You have to have some help with this, whether it's inpatient detoxification, we do it in Las Vegas, or assistance with outpatient withdrawal.
We're going to take a break now. When we come back, we're going to talk more about how does chronic pain turn into a syndrome and what can people do about it. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. Thanks for listening.
Perhaps you are struggling to cope with the disease of addiction. If not, you probably know a family member or friend that needs help in battling the cravings and the personal and professional damage done by the effects of drugs or alcohol. Get a pen and paper and be ready to write down the following. These are the issues that the trained staff at the Atlanta Healing Center address and treat every day. Their doctors and counselors with over 40 years of practice in the field of addiction can treat the suffering individual in a thoughtful, compassionate, and experienced manner and guide him or her along the path to recovery. So call 770-696-9862 and speak to a knowledgeable staff member about how you or your loved one can be helped to enjoy a better and healthier life. More information is also available on the website at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
Hi, this is Tracy Pearson with Prissy Tomboy. The Prissy Tomboy radio show empowers females with confidence and belief in self through active, healthy lifestyles. Listen every Tuesday at 5 p.m. on America's Web Radio.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. This is Detailing Addiction, and today we have the author of The Pain Antidote, Stop Suffering from Chronic Pain, Avoid Addiction to Painkillers, and Reclaim Your Life. It is released today on May 26, 2015. If you're interested in finding out more about this book, you can go to thepainantidotebook.com, or if you're interested for yourself or a loved one in finding out more about Dr. Pohl's program at the Las Vegas Recovery Center, you can go to LasVegasRecovery.com, or you can call them at 1-888-773-0556. That's 1-888-773-0556. So thank you so much for being here today. This is really, I think, such an important program and an important problem to finally be finding some solutions and some real science behind what's the thing to do. How does chronic pain become this chronic pain syndrome? What happens?
Good question. I'll qualify that and say that not everybody with chronic pain becomes overwhelmed with it the way we've been talking about. So, there's a bunch of people, probably the majority of people walking around, who just kind of live their life and they have an acre of pain and they might take a couple of Tylenol or an aspirin or an ibuprofen, and they're just not really affected by it. There are certain people, and we've come to the understanding that some of them are genetically predisposed to have a lower tolerance of pain or a lowered threshold so that they feel more pain perhaps than another person. That's a genetically influenced in a certain series of enzymes that that are responsible for normal function. So we start out with somebody who might be a little more vulnerable to feel more pain, and then we have people who've had significant trauma in their lives, and those folks suffer from sexual trauma or emotional or physical trauma, or one of the things we commonly see is what I've come to call medical trauma, which is basically people who've gone in, had surgery, the surgery has, quote, failed, and then they have surgery for the failed surgery, and they're on their fourth surgery with metal in their spine and no improvement in their clinical function. And then the doctor goes in and accidentally cuts the tube that goes to their bladder, and they end up with a bag to pee in. So, some really horrendous stories. I think that with that sort of vulnerability set, we have certain people who develop a painful condition, and it just takes over their life, so that the mood disturbances are present, the depression, anxiety, fear, and anger, they're not functioning normally, so either they're working marginally or unable to work, their lives shrink, if you will, the families suffer, and they're focused on a medical solution. They take medications, they go for tests, their life becomes, starts to revolve around the issue of their pain, and often these people have more pain than they, quote, should. So they're misunderstood in the medical system. There's not a clear relationship to the organic cause of their pain. And, you know, most of the patients I come in are in that category, and they say that the doctor doesn't believe me. And that disbelief really is weighs heavily on patients.
So they feel misunderstood, and I'm sure that can't help in terms of their feeling of hope for the future.
Right. Absolutely. Or hope that this person can help me. So what am I going to do? I'll just take the drugs he gives me or she gives me and, you know, sort of scrape by. I mean, it's just incredible how people's lives really shrink. And often this is in conjunction with an event. So the event might be an accident or a surgery or an injury. And, you know, from that day forth, and I'm talking about 20, 30 years of this spiraling downward of medication overuse and decrease in function and sleep disturbance and all the emotional things that go along with that.
And some of the dysfunction, I think, is also directly related to the opioid pain medications, the feeling sometimes of depression, of low energy, of foggy brain, fuzzy thinking, the in and out of pain, the change in sensation that they have that might wake them up at night. These kinds of things began, I think, to really not only limit their quality of life, but actually how they function in their life. So the opioids can become a problem. Is that not right?
Yeah, I think that more often than not, and again, if you look at the statistics from the National Institute of Health report that came out about 3 months ago, or the American Academy of Neurology that came out last year, it happens to most patients, that escalating dose and decreasing effectiveness and decreasing function. I mean, there's one of the things that happens is opioids actually cause more pain physiologically in a high percentage of patients if they're used in relatively high doses for long periods of time. So they actually activate the nervous system and cause more pain, as Susan, as of course you know. The other thing about meds I wanted to mention was that oftentimes it's not only opioids, it's sedatives like Valium or Xanax or Klonopin, and it's sleeping medications in the sedative family like Ambien or Halcyon or Restoril. And then people will often ingest alcohol on top of it to try and boost the effects of the opioids. And, you know, as I said at the opening of the show, a lot of what we see is people not trying to get high, but trying to get relief from the pain.
So you've got someone who has a pain syndrome, and they're taking opioids, and they're taking sedatives and sleeping pills and muscle relaxers. So do you take them off the medicine and then you say, go have a nice life?
Because
the detox off the meds is not pleasant. But
no. But
are there other things that you can do to help them?
Yeah. I mean, certainly the detox can be miserable and, as I said earlier, can be potentially medically dangerous, so it has to be done under medical supervision.
Yes.
I mean, you can have very serious consequences of just stopping the medication. But once the medication is gone, two things happen. One is that the pain levels tend to be lower off the medicine than on the medicine. And that's a really good boost, but it only may be 10 or 15%. And that's not enough for somebody to really sustain. I mean, our goal in treatment at Las Vegas Recovery Center is 50% reduction in pain. So if somebody's, I guess, lucky enough to be able to come to treatment, we begin from the very first day of their rehabilitation phase, getting them moving. So we have a trainer who comes in 3 times a week, and the brilliance about all of our clinical practitioners are that they work with the patient at his or her level of function. I mean, we have some people who were Olympic athletes who were injured, and now they've been immobilized, and they want to go back to Olympic-style activity within a week, which is, of course, contraindicated. So we try and help those people slow down. We have other people who are overweight and deconditioned from lying in bed and not exercising. And they're lucky if they can walk from one end of the treatment center to the other. And that's what they do. That's their exercise of the day. But everybody gets moving, and we deal with one of the feelings that comes up around movement is fear. You know, it's going to hurt me. It's going to harm me. And we try and help people differentiate hurt from harm. It's okay if it hurts to an extent. And we have a great yoga instructor and a Qigong instructor, two different groups, who really help people work with their edges. Because if you go too far and injure yourself, that's obviously not going to help. But to stay beneath the extreme of movement keeps me stuck. And we're really interested in helping people mobilize their inactivated tissues that have, for some extent, scarred up. We have physical therapy, we have chiropractic, we have acupuncture, we have massage, we have a Reiki master, which is an energy worker. So they're very, very, our patients are very active throughout the day in a variety of different, both pain-reducing and movement-enhancing activities. And, you know, I just ran into a patient on the way over to have this chat, and I said, how you doing today? He said, well, I'm uncomfortable. He said, but I'm uncomfortable because I worked out, and it's good. It's good pain. And he said, I haven't worked out in 20 years. So really we try and help people pace, but movement is a big factor. And in the book, we really try and help people focus on very, very slow, graded increase in their activity. And, you know, just getting up and filling your lungs with oxygen and getting out of the house and going to the mailbox is a good start. And the other areas that are also well represented in the book and at the treatment center are dealing with people's thoughts, those cognitions that we talked about earlier in the show about how my pain is going to kill me and I can't do this and I can feel my spine degenerating every minute of every hour that we're talking. You know, these kind of crazy distortions of reality. And we help people see what's true, which is I have a strong sensation in my back. Now what? And that's really a description of mindfulness practice. All of our patients do that every day. It's a meditation practice to really notice what is present in the moment, but without all that story and judgment. And then the next area of intervention is with emotions. And oftentimes when people stop taking their painkillers, pain comes up and it's emotional. So people who had significant trauma begin to deal with that. And you know, if somebody who's listening to this decides to come off their pills, that is one of the biggest challenges, is that not only do you feel more physical pain in the short run, but your emotions start to wake up and things that have maybe been buried by the medication start to really impact. And we have a very strong bent towards the spirituality. We believe strongly in the 12 steps as a recovery methodology, and also in meditative practice. So, and all those aspects, were mentioned, and addressed in the book in quite a bit of detail. So, you know, again, you can't do a month of 24/7 by reading a book, but at least you can get an introduction to the concepts that we use here.
Absolutely. It sounds like this is going to be a very valuable tool. We're going to take a break. When we come back, one of the things that I hope we can talk about is that interface between addiction and chronic pain, and how do you work with that? We're going to take a break now. Please stay tuned.
The disease of addiction is a life-altering challenge, not just for the person suffering its effects, but also for the family and friends who support and love the one caught in its grasp. What should be the course of treatment? Who is the best person to render treatment? And what is the best place to go for the care that is needed? We know that you want answers to these and many more questions. Call 770-696-9862 and speak to a representative of the Atlanta Healing Center. They can tailor a program specifically designed to address the needs of the person suffering with an addiction, or give you guidance as to where that help may be found. Information is the key, and the trained staff at AHC is here to assist. If you wish, you can also get more information on the website located at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
Did you miss a show that you really wanted to hear? All of our programs are available for download on americaswebradio.com and on iTunes. You can listen to your favorite programs on americaswebradio.com anytime you like.
Perhaps you are struggling to cope with the disease of addiction. If not, you probably know a family member or friend that needs help in battling the cravings and the personal and professional damage done by the effects of drugs or alcohol. Get a pen and paper and be ready to write down the following. These are the issues that the trained staff at the Atlanta Healing Center address and treat every day. Their doctors and counselors with over 40 years of practice in the field of addiction can treat the suffering individual in a thoughtful, compassionate, and experienced manner and guide him or her along the path to recovery. So call 770-696-9862 and speak to a knowledgeable staff member about how you or your loved one can be helped to enjoy a better and healthier life. More information is also available on the website at www.atlantahealingcenter.com.
This is americaswebradio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.
Welcome back. I'm Dr. Susan Blank. Today our guest is Dr. Mel Pohl. He and Kathy Ketchum have written a book called The Pain Antidote, Stop Suffering from Chronic Pain, Avoid Addiction to Painkillers, and Reclaim Your Life. It's being released today, and if you're interested in finding out how to get a copy of this book, you can go to thepainantidotebook.com. If you're interested in learning more about Dr. Pohl and his work at the Las Vegas Recovery Center, go to Las Vegas Recovery Center, LasVegasRecovery.com. So right before the break, we were talking about this, the ways in which you address the issues of pain, including movement, meditation, some understanding around what the significance of the pain might be, both physical and emotional, ways in which you help folks learn coping skills and lifestyle changes that can improve not only their function, but their overall worldview. But one of the questions that I have, and is certainly woven into the title of your book, is that interface between chronic pain and addiction. Do they always go hand in hand?
They really don't. And we tried to make this book relevant to people who are suffering from addiction, who are in that middle ground of, I take medications, but I use them as prescribed, but they rule my life. And people who don't take medications, because there's a lot in treating chronic pain and helping people's lives get better by just simply addressing the emotional and spiritual and cognitive parts of the pain experience that really can be impacted, whether drugs are present or not. So, you know, our goal is, if people are on medication, to give them an opportunity to come off the medication or get it to its lowest dose, and then to use the second and third part of the book to really apply to how do they live their lives. For folks who have, as you said it at the opening, you know, for folks who have chronic pain and who have drug addiction and who also have significant psychiatric illness, this is really a tough challenge, because if it's pain and addiction, we have two diseases that are running in tandem that have to be dealt with.
And when you do that, they really do need to be addressed together, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think you can prioritize one over the other. I mean, we give people, when they're in treatment here in Las Vegas, we give them treatment exercises about pain. We have a pain workbook here called Pain Recovery, and assignments from that, and also on the addiction issues, and they usually will work a number of steps and get a sponsor and go to meetings. And the good news is that because the diseases run in tandem, the recoveries can run in tandem. We decided to call our program Pain Recovery because rather than pain management, we want to help people really change their lives fundamentally, as you said, and go forth with a different attitude and a sustainable plan to live a better life. I mean, it's got to be about living a better life.
Well, absolutely. You know, talking to people about good enough pain control so that the function is improved and that side effects are minimal and that people really are able to live alive.
And it's amazing how little side effects we have from positive thinking, meditation, and acupressure.
And some good old exercise right on in there. It seems so simple, and yet it's so very hard for people to find this kind of therapy, this kind of treatment. Can people work with their local doctor? Do you find ways in which patients who can't come to Las Vegas Recovery, can they use this book and have a discussion with their physician about options?
Yes, by all means. I mean, again, the reason we wrote the book was to extend the reach to people who can't, for whatever reason, come and take 4 to 12 weeks off and enter treatment, which of course is sort of the optimal method of treatment, to really give people a time to retool the software of their brain to help them make lives better. But, you know, there's a lot of components to the book. We wrote a specific 4-week jumpstart plan. So, you know, after you get through the meat of the book, or of course, if you're like me, skip to the third part of the book and jump ahead and see. And there, you know, we really look in 7 areas of life at how can you impact your pain. And again, if something's going to be done about the medications, if medications are in the picture, there needs to be a physician or a prescriber involved in that decision and that implementation. And if the doctor that is the doctor that's been prescribing all along says no way, we're keeping you at this dose, then I really strongly would reiterate that's not the right doctor. And you should have a doctor who will at least discuss with you, well, here's the pros, here's the cons, here's a plan that we can come up with to see if you can manage to decrease or come off your drugs.
And so maybe taking their own reins, taking charge of their recovery, as we often talk about in 12-step programs and other recovery from addictions, the same may have to happen with addressing the pain.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say even more so, because the victim stance is one of the places people get stuck with the disease of pain and addiction. You know, poor me, and there's nothing that can be done, and I'm helpless and hopeless. Those approaches or that attitude really impairs a person's ability to get well. And, you know, we see people come here with that attitude because that's, you know, you sort of get trained in a way that, you know, I live from doctor's appointment to doctor's appointment. And this is really about developing self-efficacy and the ability to change my life with my own energy and efforts. And sometimes that's a hard sell, but I think that developing a positivity towards that is really very, very helpful to a good outcome.
And I would have to agree. I think that so often in medicine, we've been raised and trained with the idea that the doctor is going to do something to me or for me, and so my job is to show up for my appointments, get my prescription filled, and take it as prescribed. And yet, I know you make good reference to things like your diet. What are you fueling your body with? What tools are you giving your body to be able to heal and repair itself?
Right. And what are you poisoning your body with
exactly
along the way? So that's absolutely true.
So there are things that you can do with movement. There are things that you can do with cognitive attitudes. There are changes you can make, even if you don't have the full team of the Las Vegas Recovery Center. You have there are lots of things that you can do, and that it's not managing your pain isn't just about letting someone else do something to you or for you. This is really
That's
your
right.
job.
That's right. And actually, people that do that have much better outcomes. We have data that supports that.
If they are able to be...
take charge. People who do less well are the people that say, whatever you say, doctor, they're the easy patients, the ones who say thank you and do what I tell them to do, or at least tell me they're going to do what I tell them to do, as opposed to the patient who challenges and says, well, I read this, and I'm wondering about that, and I want to try this. Those folks do better, the ones that are more active and participatory in their health care.
So in our last few moments, besides buy the book, which of course I'm encouraging all of our listeners to hurry out and do, and it is available as a Kindle download, is that correct?
I think Kindle's coming out, today,
yes.
It's the 26th, yeah. I believe that's true. The hardcover or softcover book has been out for a few days, and I think Kindle's out today or tomorrow, yeah.
So besides that, are there some thoughts that you would leave people with in terms of managing their pain and the pain antidote?
Well, I guess I would start and say that willingness and courage and diligence are all essential parts of this antidote. And I think it really starts with awareness. I mean, if you listen to this show and you say, I don't have to keep living this way. And you take an appraisal of yourself, and you see how your life operates, and you move off the mark of this is the only way I can be, then you have a beginning to really move towards, and hopefully people are going to move towards joy and compassion and connection to other people, because that's the real spiritual essence of the program, when we really find a place for ourselves in the world that so many people with chronic pain have lost.
I thank you so much for your book, for your time today, Dr. Pohl, and for the good work that you do at Las Vegas Recovery. I'd like to thank all of our listeners, and we will see you next week on Detailing Addiction on America's Web Radio.
This is AmericasWebRadio.com, the best in chat radio designed just for you.